and preach to us for a little while, so y'all give him your attention and pray for the man of God as he comes.
Amen.
All right. Let me turn this on here. There you go. Am I on? I think I am. All right. I didn't know when I come inside that Pastor Josh, y'all don't know this, is a slave driver. He is. He's made me preach every Sunday night this year.
Wow.
I've been... I have. I almost put it in my notes, but I remembered that joke. I've been making jokes like that ever since all year, really. It didn't stop New Year's Day. I went and woke the kids up, said, y'all get up. You've been sleeping all year. And it just keeps going, but we'll stop. All right. If you got your Bibles, I want you to open up to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. It is a privilege to be up here tonight because I haven't preached all year. All right, last one. That was the last one. All right. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to begin reading in verse number 5. It says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him." Amen. Verse 9, "And after this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." All right, let's pray. Dear God, I want to thank you so much for your word. I want to thank you for what it teaches, dear God. I want to just pray that you would just forgive me for where I failed you, dear God. I pray there'd be nothing to hinder you from moving in here tonight, dear God. I pray you would speak to each and every individual that's in here. Everyone that hears this sermon tonight, that it would be a blessing to them, that you would draw them closer to you. Lord, just let your word have its way in each and every one of our hearts. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last year, I spent a great deal of time talking to our youth group about the power of prayer. And the Lord's been working a lot in my heart about having a better prayer life and just being a prayer warrior. And I want to give you a couple thoughts tonight. And before we get started, I want you to think about these things as we're going through the sermon. I want to ask you this, and just think about it. What is prayer? What is it? Okay, what is prayer? What would you consider a successful prayer? What would you, if you was to talk about someone being a prayer warrior, or if somebody had an effective prayer life, what does that mean to you? What does it mean to have an effective prayer life? And I'm thankful that the Bible teaches that there is power in prayer. That God does hear our prayers and He does answer our prayers. And I think the church, I believe, could be more powerful and could accomplish a lot more things if we would just spend a lot more time on our knees, a lot more time in the throne room, a lot more time with the Father, just praying to Him, seeking His help, bringing our prayers, bringing our petitions to Him, and just asking Him for help. Because I believe that there's power in prayer. And as I open up my Bible, this passage of Scripture was the first passage of Scripture that I read in the year. I've been trying to spend a lot of time on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And on January 1st, I opened up and I read this passage of Scripture. And the Lord just started working in my heart. And there are a few things in this passage of Scripture, some thoughts that I want to share with you that I believe that the Lord gave to me on prayer. Okay? Number one, if you look in verse 5 and 6, point number one is, I believe that God expects Christians to pray. He expects us to. He says in verse 5, He says, when thou prayest. He doesn't say if thou prayest, but Jesus said when thou prayest. And He says it again in verse 6, when thou prayest. In verse 7, He says, and when ye pray. That Jesus is talking to His disciples, that His expectation is that they will be spending time in prayer. And Christians, you and I, we need to make sure that we are praying. They say that prayer is one of the most talked about things in church and the least practiced. And it's very easy to tell someone, hey, we'll be praying for you. It's easy to put on Facebook, we're praying for you. Many times we put prayer requests through our Facebook chat and we'll send a little praying hands or we'll type out praying. But I can't help but wonder, how much are we really praying? See, praying is more than thinking about praying. Okay, we really got to put some action behind it and spend some time praying. Prayer was important enough for Jesus to do. You'll find in your Bible that Jesus started out His day in prayer. Jesus, with knowing, think about how full His days were. We think we're busy. Think about when Jesus got up. He was like, let's see, today I got to heal blind men, deaf people. I got to raise 3 people from the dead today. Like, He woke up. He had a full day ahead. I got to fight the Pharisees today. Like, He knew everything that He had ahead. But yet, He made sure that He got up and got alone and spent some time with God. And you and I as Christians, listen, the expectation from our Father is that we spend some time praying for Him, praying in prayer. So God expects us to pray. And God commands us to pray. In verse number 9, He says this, after this manner, therefore, pray. He's telling us when you pray, pray like this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, pray without ceasing. Amen. Pray without ceasing. I believe that as Christians, we should really live in a constant state of prayer. According to, I take that verse literally. I think we should pray from the time that we get up. I think we should pray on our way to work. I think we should pray while we're at work. I think that throughout the day we should live our lives in a constant state of prayer. We should be seeking God's help. When we're at the gas station, I think the car that pulls up beside you, you should start praying for that car, that driver. Lord, is this person saved? I don't know what's going on through their life. If you can hand them a tract, do it. But I think we should be constantly praying. Has anyone ever just come across your mind that you haven't thought about in years? And for some reason, you're just thinking about them? Do you think that's a coincidence? I believe with all my heart, when that happens, you're supposed to pray for that person. My mom told me years ago that, because I don't know about if y'all are dreamers, but I have dreams all the time. I dream the craziest stuff, and my mom, I guess, she does the same thing. We talk about sometimes how you'll dream about someone that you haven't seen or thought about for years, and for some reason they pop up in your, and my mom says, anytime that happens, I just wake up and start praying for that person. And you and I as Christians, we need to make sure that we are praying without ceasing. Hey, you know the Bible says for us to pray for our enemies. You ever have somebody you don't like? Be honest now. And now you'll notice the people you don't like, unfortunately, are the ones you spend your time thinking about the most. All right? They'll consume you. You'll start thinking about things you wish you would tell them. You wish you would have said to them. Right? Let's be honest. The people that we can't stand, sometimes they consume our mind. But you know what? As much as they're on our mind, we need to be praying for them. Yes, sir. Be praying for them. I have a little book of quotes at the house, and I was reading a little bit about prayer, and one man said, if we would pray as much as we grumble, we'd have a lot less to grumble about. Amen? Hey, listen, you and I as Christians, God expects us to pray. God commands us to pray. And I like this. God taught us to pray. God taught us to pray. This same The Lord's Prayer is given here in Matthew chapter 6. It's also given in Luke chapter 11. And you don't have to turn. I just want to read it to you in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased," it says, "one of his disciples come up to him and said, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" And I was really thinking about this verse and meditating on it. But first of all, what a sight. What a sight for the disciples to walk up and see Jesus praying. What a sight to walk up. And I don't know how long Jesus sat there in prayer. And I don't know if Jesus was praying out loud. I don't know if he was praying to himself. All I know is the disciples walked up and they saw Jesus on his knees praying to the Father. And whatever they saw, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray. Whatever you're, I see your fellowship with the Father. And I see whatever you're doing right now, Father, teach us to pray." And I also realize this, that prayer, so many times we think that we got it. Prayer is a simple thought. I asked you, what is prayer? Prayer, simply put, is us talking to God. Amen. I mean, that's what it is. It's us talking to God. And we know how to talk, right? So we think the idea of prayer should be simple. But if the disciples were humble enough to realize, hey, Jesus, your prayer is not the same as my praying. And whatever you're doing right there, Lord, teach us. And if Jesus' disciples were humbled and said, "Lord, teach us to pray," then you and I need to realize something, that prayer, although a simple thought, is something that needs to be learned. A prayer life is hard. Listen, if you want to be a serious prayer warrior for God, it's hard. It's hard to get a prayer journal and start writing those things and be faithful to pray in those things. And many times when we pray, our mind drifts off and our mind wanders, and it's hard to focus on our prayer. And prayer is work. Amen. Prayer is work, and prayer is something that needs to be learned. But I'm thankful that Jesus taught us how to pray. Amen. And here in Matthew chapter 6, you have, I want you to just realize this. Jesus is teaching us how to pray. Amen. What an awesome thing. He is teaching us how to pray. He says, when you pray, he says, pray like this. And we're going to get into this, but there's a few more thoughts that I just want to get into. Not only do we learn in this passage of Scripture that God expects us to pray, God commands us to pray, and God taught us to pray, but I see here that there's a wrong way to pray. There's a wrong way to pray. Yes, I just want to go over a few prayers with you tonight that I believe are ineffective prayers, that don't make it through. Okay? The first prayer, the non-existent prayer. The Bible says in James chapter 4, "You have not because you ask not." Yeah. What a verse in the Bible that we really need to think about. Yeah. That God told us through His Word that you have not because you ask not. Yeah. How many things do you think that we don't have in our life because we simply didn't ask for them? Right. How many blessings did God have for us in heaven that He wanted to give to us, but we simply did not ask? How many decisions did we make without God's guidance simply because we didn't ask? He was sitting there ready to help you make the right choice. He was sitting there ready to guide you and lead you in the right path. But because you didn't ask, you made the wrong choice, went down the wrong road. It's the non-existent prayer. I like the song that says, "What a friend we have in Jesus." But this one part, it says, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." And how many times do we carry our burdens? How many times do we walk around brokenhearted and just things just laying so heavy on us, all because we just haven't taken them to God in prayer? And how many times have you and I as Christians had something laying on our heart, been brokenhearted, and finally when we got down on our knees and just started giving that burden to the Lord, it was like taking a heavy backpack off of your back and you just felt that burden just roll off. You just knew that everything was going to be okay. That's the non-existent prayer. Two, it's the prideful prayer. This really gets me. If you really read this, if you look in verse 5, it says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets." It says this, that they may be seen of men. And Jesus said this, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." If what you're doing is to please man, Jesus says you have your reward. If he was to back up, when he talks about our tithes and offerings and almsgiving, he says the same thing. That how the scribes and Pharisees, they would blast the trumpet so everybody could see the money that they were putting into the offering plate. And Jesus says, you have your reward. And, you know, I have to remind myself, Brother Josh, as you talked about the Tithely app and tithing through the app, sometimes I start worrying when the offering plate passes me, man, they're going to think Brother Lee never tithes. And I have to remind myself, let them think it. Because I'm not doing it for the ushers. I'm doing it for Him. And when we pray, we need to make sure that we're not praying to be heard of men, that we're praying for Him. I want you to look, hold your place in Matthew, because we're going to turn back there. But I want you to look in Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, in verse number 10, it says this. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisees, boy, these Pharisees were something, weren't they? The Pharisees stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, or extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off, the Bible says this, would not even lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And Jesus said in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now I will tell you, and you can turn back to Matthew chapter 6. I love a live church service. I do. Listen, I've been in both. I've been in dead church services. I've been in live church services. Listen, I've been in both. And I like it when the people are amening. I like it when people are raising their hands. I like it when God's people are praising God and it's a live service, and I love it. But let me just tell you something. Don't overlook that one sitting there quiet, not raising their hand, and maybe barely makes it through the door. Don't even feel worthy to be in here. And sometimes you hear preachers say, hey, you'll shout at a ball game, you'll shout it here. And sometimes people that are quiet come into church and get judged, like, man, what's wrong with them? But you don't know what's going on in that heart. You don't know what God's doing in their heart. And that one standing up, raising their hands, being alive, you don't know what's going on in their heart either. You could put on a good show in front of everyone. But God's looking at the heart. Amen. We're going to get into that further. So you have the prideful prayer. Back in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 7, it says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions. And I have here the insincere prayer, the robotic prayer. You know, there's a group of people out there that get a little necklace, little beads, and they say the same prayer over and over and over.
That's right.
Probably don't even know what it means, what they're praying.
That's right.
And you know, but if you're not careful, we'll find ourselves saying the same prayers over and over. You know, I find myself saying the same exact word every time I pray before I eat. And you have to think, am I really pausing to thank God for the food? Or am I just doing what we normally do? I notice that many times I start my prayer off with the same exact words. And I have to just check myself. Are you just going through the motions?
Yes, sir.
I see the insincere prayer. I see the selfish prayer. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Now, I want you to think, I asked you this morning, what does it mean? What does it mean to be an effective prayer warrior? What does it mean to have an effective prayer life? What does that mean to you, to have an effective prayer life? What is prayer? Is prayer all about us getting what we want? You know, I think sometimes we look at prayer kind of like we look at if we was to find a genie in a bottle and you get three wishes. Listen, that's not what prayer is. Prayer isn't about us getting what we want. So many times when we go to God, we first of all, a lot of times we're guilty of only going to Him when we need something. And most of our prayers we'll find is, Lord, give me, give me, give me, give me. The Bible says, but you ask amiss. I was telling our teenagers in Sunday school this morning, it's funny how Christians think they can live any old way they want to and then go to God with their hand out and expecting Him to answer. I read in that little book of quotes today, it says, we can't pray for cream and live skim milk. But I see the selfish prayer when we go to God. We only care about what we want. But then I see there's a correct way to pray. Yep. I like this in verse 6. It says, but thou. I see two different people praying here. Yep. You have the hypocrite. Right. And then Jesus said, but thou. I don't want to be prideful and put myself in that category. But I will tell you, I know I'm a child of the King.
Amen.
And Jesus was talking to His disciples. He said, this is how the scribes, the Pharisees, the hypocrites, this is how they pray. But when He talked to His disciples, He said, but thou. Can I just tell you something? There's something special when your children come to you and ask for something. And God looks at us as His children. He says, but thou when I pray. I see an effective way to pray. And then Jesus gives us a model prayer here, beginning in verse 9. And again, we need to not forget what it says in verse 7 about vain repetitions. Jesus gave us a model prayer not to be repeated, not that we can just memorize this and quote this. There's nothing wrong with quoting the Lord's Prayer and thinking about the words in it, but that's not why He gave us this. We all know that. Jesus was giving us an example to follow and teaching us how to pray, but I just want to look at the beginning of this. I probably don't have time to get through all of it. What time are we looking at here? Yeah, we're going to get through it. We're going to hurry up through this. I see a correct way to pray. Jesus says, after this manner, therefore, pray. And He started out with this. Our Father, which art in heaven. Our prayers are directed to one person. And that's our Father, which sits in heaven. Listen, I don't understand. Listen, I'm not here to pick on Catholics tonight, but I will tell you, they get these beads and they pray with these beads and they go inside their churches and they pray to a man. And they go in there and what do they call their priest? Father. But Matthew chapter 23 verse 9 says, I call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
There's only one I'm going to call Father. That's my Heavenly Father. And when I pray, listen, I love Pastor Josh, but I'm not going to pray to you, brother. He's not going to ask me to pray for him. I'm not going to ask you to forgive me for my sins. He's not going to ask me to come to him and confess. Listen, we pray to one. We pray to him.
Amen.
If we're going to pray, we need to make sure our prayers are directed to the Father that's in heaven. And He said, our Father. Our first thing we need to do is make sure that He is your Father.
Amen.
He says, our Father. We need to make sure that we've accepted Him and asked Jesus to come into our life and to save us and make sure that He is our Father so our prayers will be directed to Him. And I like that He says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name.
Yep.
Our prayers are directed to Him and they start out with praise. I want you to think about this. This is one of these things I have to get on myself because for some reason, I've been doing it since I was a kid, I start out my prayers like this. Dear God, please forgive me for all the sins I've ever done in my life. It's always the first thing. First of all, that's pretty a broad confession, right? Lord, forgive me for all sins I've done in my life. And sometimes we feel like when we go to prayer that we gotta get our sins confessed first. That there's this. Now, sins do hinder our relationship with God, but many times we come to God in prayer and we feel like we gotta get things cleaned up first before we can even start praying. But when Jesus taught us to pray, He says, when you start out, you come praying, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And He has us starting out with praise. And you know why I think that is, Brother Josh? Because when we go to God in prayer, it's not about how bad we are. It's about how good He is.
Amen?
Amen? It's about Him. When we go to God in prayer, it's not about us, Josh. It's about Him. So when we go to the Lord in prayer, we start out with praise. Because no matter how bad I've been this week, He's still good when I go to Him.
Yes, He is. Amen.
It's not about us. It's about Him. We Which brings us to my next point. He says in verse 10, "Thy kingdom come," and for sake of time, I'm not, Josh, I wanted to preach on that so bad tonight. His kingdom's coming. Hey, His kingdom's coming. Jesus is going to come down. He's going to sit on the throne of David one day, and He's going to reign from Jerusalem. His kingdom's coming. And by the way, God's kingdom is here, not yet come yet. You ever think about that? It's kind of weird. Hey, Jesus isn't going to become king. Jesus is king. He's reigning from heaven right now. The Bible says heaven is His throne. The earth is His footstool. He's reigning right now. But He's going to sit on that throne one day too.
Amen.
There'll be no disputing. There'll be no election fraud. No one's going to argue about this.
That's right.
He's not going to be elected. He's going to write. Okay.
Woo.
He's going to sit on that throne one day.
Yeah. Amen.
Thy kingdom come. Then He said this, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven."
Amen.
When we go to the Lord in prayer, what it is us yielding to God's will. I told you, prayer is not about us getting what we want. It's about God getting what He wants.
Yeah.
You see, it's not us going to God with a wish list. You know, when we were kids, we used to make Christmas lists for what we wanted for Christmas. And everything you could think of, you put it on there. You knew that you weren't going to get everything on there, but what do they say? You just throw it all against the wall and see what sticks? That's not how we treat prayer life. We're not going to God. Now, listen, there's nothing going to God with what you want. There's nothing wrong with going to God, telling Him that you want this and praying for this and praying for that. There's nothing wrong with that. But what prayer is about is us yielding to His will. Jesus, was He not the perfect example to that? As He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine." Prayer is about what does God want. It's going to God, asking Him, "What is Your will for my life?"
Yep.
And if you can't get past that, you might as well just stop praying. It's about yielding to Him. It's about what He wants, not what we want. So God's looking for us to come and yield to His will. I told my family this year, as we had a family devotion when we got back into Tennessee, I opened up and I read this verse to them. And I said, "This is what I want you to pray this year, for God's will in our life." And you say, "Well, that's a praise, you know, we're all praying for that." No, I want you with a sincere heart to make sure that you're praying for God's will in your life.
Amen.
In our life. So that's what we're praying. Well, that's what more could you want than God's will? It's about God's will. So God's looking for us to want His will and to yield to Him. And then He says in verse 12, verse 11, He says, "Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our debt," what? "As we forgive our debtors." And God's wanting you, when you come to Him in prayer, He's wanting you to forgive those that have done you wrong. And this is what I've realized as I was looking at this. That you're going, "Father, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us of our debts." And then you see how God ignores the words of the hypocrites. But the one that was just beating his heart, that God was just listening to him. And I thought about this. When we pray, God cares more about what He sees in our heart than what He hears from our lips.
Right.
You see, when we pray, God's looking past our words. And He's looking at that heart. And He's looking, "Do you got a prideful heart?" Because the Bible says in James, "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Do you got anger? Is there somebody you haven't forgiven and you're holding on to that anger, yet you're coming to God seeking forgiveness? God's looking at your heart. So what is prayer? What is it? What's the purpose of prayer? It's not to get what we want. It's to make sure that God gets what He wants. And I know in John chapter 14, verse 14, it says this, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it."
Amen.
That's a powerful prayer. Taking in context and thinking about what God teaches about prayer, here's what I think that means with all my heart. Because you can go through and you read your Bible where Jesus says, "If you ask anything in my name," He said, "I'll do it. I will do it." But what does that mean? I can pray for a brand new F-150 to be sitting out there in the parking lot when I walk outside and it won't be there.
Yeah.
But Jesus said, if I ask anything in His name, He'll do it. That's not what it means. When you're yielding to His will, and when your heart is right, you'll want the same thing He wants. And you'll start praying about spiritual things. And when you and the Father are in a good relationship and you're filled with the Spirit and your prayers are Spirit-filled, then you'll be praying for things that Jesus wants. Because you'll want the same thing He wants. And when our hearts are right and our prayer life is right, then God hears our prayers. And then listen, when we ask for something, He'll give it to us. That's what that means. I believe there's power in prayer, Brother Josh. I believe we can get a piano player through prayer. Do you know that? I do. I think we should all gather around that piano and just pray for a piano player. I do. I believe, I told our kids in our youth group, I said, you know, we could build this youth group through prayer. Through prayer. It's COVID. We might not be able to get out there and knock on doors and visit and do everything that we want to do, but you know what? We could pray. Amen. We could pray. I just got to where I just believe so much that the church is probably missing out on so much because we're not praying. And that what we could accomplish if we would really, with a sincere heart, just pray and seek His face. Amen. That's what the Lord's laid on my heart. I hope the Lord spoke to you tonight. And I just challenge you that this year, 2021, be more of a prayer warrior than you've ever been. Be more of a prayer warrior. Go ask God for His guidance. And you adjust to His will. Let His will be done in your life. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for everything that you've done for us. I thank you for your word and for what it teaches, dear God. I thank you for Northside. I thank you for Pastor Josh. I thank you for our church family here, dear God. Lord, I just pray that you just have your will done in this church here. Help us to be a lighthouse to those that we're supposed to be a lighthouse to, Father, to those in this community. Help us to be a witness to those that we're supposed to be a witness to, and to be a help and a comfort to those, dear God. Lord, I just pray that you have your will done through my life, Lord, through our church, through our pastor, Lord. Just let your will be done. Lord, let us come to you in prayer, Lord. Let us spend more time in prayer this year than we ever have before. We ask all this in your name. Amen.